You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. And today, we're going to talk basketball. We're going to finally get away from all the news of the world. Sorry for no episode yesterday. Me and Adam actually talked for like an hour, but we didn't record anything. We were planning how we were going to do shows going forward, and we have lots of ideas, and we're ready to go. We got what games we're going to do for next week planned out for our rewatching stuff. We got the order of the player recaps we're going to do, and something I'm going to do is on the days the Pacers would have had a game, I'm going to preview that game as if it was really happening that day. So that will be fun. Today, the Pacers, Wednesday the 19th, the Pacers would have been playing the Golden State Warriors, which would be fun. Unfortunately, they are not. I was trying to have a guest for this one. The 18th, they're playing the Warriors. Trying to have a guest for this one. It was a little scrambly coming up with this one, so it didn't happen. But I believe on Friday for the Heat, I will have a guest, so that will be fun. And that's the TJ Warren fight game, so we'll have a lot to talk about. But today, we're going to talk some Warriors. I actually want to talk about a free agency thing, especially with the cap falling, and do a little tease Justin Holiday with these player season recap stuffs are going to look like, or I guess up to suspension. So let's start with the Golden State Warriors, the Pacers Warriors tonight. In Bankers Life, if you'll recall, the Pacers beat the Warriors in January. The mighty game where we got to see TJ Warren lock up D'Angelo Russell. If you don't remember that game, it was one of my favorites of the year because the Pacers offense looked really good that game. They ended up scoring 129 points on like their fourth game of a road trip. And I know the Warriors are completely terrible this year. Their numbers for reference, they're 30th in offense and 26th in defense. This is the same team that's won like three of the last five championships. Their defense stinks, and their offense isn't really good either. Now they're without everybody. They're missing Klay Thompson. Draymond Green's missed a ton of time. Curry's missed a ton of time. They lost Kevin Durant. Sure, they still had D'Angelo Russell for that first game, but that's where this difference ends because Russell had 37 of the Warriors 118 in that game. He has since been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Steph Curry came back. They're a whole new team, so it's kind of hard to look back. I mean, the Warriors' leading scorer that night was Russell with 37. He's on a different team. Glenn Robinson was their second leading scorer. He's on a different team. Their fourth leading scorer was Alec Burks. He's on a different team. So only Marquese Chriss, of their top four leading scorers that night, is still on the Warriors. So really hard to use that game to look ahead and see what could happen in this one, but it starts with Steph, right? I mean, I hate that he was out so much this year. Like, he is just unbelievable to watch. The dude misses months, comes back against Toronto, his first game since October, 23 points on only 16 shots, some ridiculous plays, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. The Warriors, who stink all year. Played them pretty tough. They only lost by 8 to the defending champion Raptors, and given how the rest of the Warriors season has gone, I think they'll take an 8-point loss. Unfortunately, Curry since then has sat out, but he's looking to return tonight, fortunately for the lovely crowd in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But the Warriors are just a lot. I mean, Curry's the thing, right? The butcher. Me and Adam did not do these this week, but it's Curry. I mean, he's the best shooter ever. He's the hardest guy to defend who isn't a wing in the NBA right now. You have to chase him all the time. He's the best off-ball mover possibly in NBA history. He can pull up from anywhere. His handles are insane. I mean, he's just a marvel of an offensive player. He has been one of the best two or three players in the NBA basically since 2015, with his peaks being the best player in the NBA. Obviously, he's not at that level right now, but he could get back to that point and carry the Warriors to that point. They're going to be very dangerous next year once they get everybody back. And the Warriors in their last game, there are other players than Curry, but I mean, with no Brogdon, Pacers are going to have pretty much no chance to contain him. Aaron Holiday can do all he wants, but Steph Curry is Steph Curry. TJ McConnell, same. I mean, he can just shoot right over these guys, right? That's where they fall in a build. Like, they can try all they want. you know, it's just impossible to contain him. The Warriors, though, not just different there. I mean, for those who don't keep up with the Warriors, they've had some fun hard cap concerns this year. So they've been, like, rifling through 10-day guys, and they have to, like, sign them. And then when their 10-day ends, they have to wait a few days to sign it again to make sure they're signing them to as little or as small of a deal as possible to stay under this hard cap. So in their last game, here's their starting lineup. Andrew Wiggins, haven't even touched on yet. Damian Lee, Marquise Chris, Michael Mulder, who they just signed to a longer deal, and Juan Toscano-Anderson. And then on their bench, Chasen Randall, who they just signed from China, Kai Bowman, Dragan Bender, Jordan Poole, and Eric Paschal. So, yeah, they quite the crew they roll out there. Mulder and Toscano-Anderson, they just called up from the G League on 10 days recently. Wiggins, of course, they pulled in from Minnesota at the deadline. He's a guy that's worth talking about, right? Even with all his inefficiencies, he loves the mid-range game. His passing is terrible. In that game that I just referenced, that starting five in, just 3 assists, 21 points, 16 shots. 3 assists and 16 shots is not the greatest use of the ball all the time, but that's an efficient night. That's fine. You live with that. He is just such an odd player because, you know, you'll look at the end of the game and go, dang, we let Wiggins give up, whatever, 23. But he sunk so many possessions along the way that it's almost okay. You let him get his moderately efficient 23 and kill the team everywhere else. His defense is just okay. The rest of his offense is pretty bad. And the rest of that Warriors group isn't any better passing the ball. Chris can't pass. Lee's probably the best passer of that group. Mulder, Toscano, Anderson, not going to kill with their passing. Those guys are okay finishers, and they can all kind of hit the glass and move around. None of them are going to turn the ball over too much, but there is no scoring in that group. That group started a game, and they all played a ton of minutes, except for Toscano, Anderson, and that group combined for 42 points. Starting lineup, 42 points, so not good. Paschal is where they get a lot of their scoring, and Dragan Bender played really well in this team's last game, but they just don't have any shot creation. No Draymond. If Steph doesn't play, they're really screwed. But outside of Steph, they just have no shot creation. So they have pretty much no talent. They're just ready for next year. They're trying to field a legal team, basically, as long as they can to get to that point. Get Steph back, get him ready to go. So basically, I mean, even if they don't shut down Steph, the Pacers should win this game. They have the better roster as the Warriors recover from stuff and just throw out any legal roster they can. Now, of course, Steph could get really hot and Wiggins could play an okay game and you lose, but even if Steph gets hot, they have so many advantages. For example, Sabonis is going to be guarded by Damian Lee, Marquise Chris. Like, he's going to feast on those guys. Turner can stretch the floor on those guys with good screens. The Pacers' bench is substantially better. I mean, these matchups are easy wins individually for the Pacers. And even if the Warriors switch like size, all of a sudden you're looking at TJ Warren guarded by Marquise Chris. I mean, you can find a lot of ways to score if you're the Pacers and their defense is solid enough to take them down. So should be an easy Pacers win. We'll see. But, you know, Curry can always be Curry. We'll have to see how it goes. But that's all the Warriors I got. I want to talk about Justin Holiday's season. And I chose him for our example on purpose because I actually want him to be a part of a free agency discussion at the end of this with the falling salary cap. So let's talk a lot about Justin Holiday and free agency coming up. So normally when we recap players, seasons, and such, and maybe we'll do a full episode on Justin Holiday, but we do like a pros and a cons and a highlight of the season, and we make it kind of structured. I'm not really going to do that for this segment. I haven't really thought of how I want to do it. Man, I'm really self-conscious about that mouth noise I do when I do these. Anyway, Holiday, far and away, I think this is not a real award. Well, this is not a real award. I don't think it is. It's not. But I wish it was. The player who exceeded my expectations the most, Justin Holiday by a mile. McConnell has exceeded my expectations this season. McDermott has. TJ Warren definitely has by a fair amount. But yet none of them are close to what Justin Holiday has done in terms of just blowing me out of the water for what this guy can do. So when I was watching him for the Bulls and the Grizzlies, and even a little, I think I caught some of his Knicks tape, I never was... You know, he could do some kind of off-the-dribble bouncy stuff, but nothing crazy. You know, he wasn't really a good scorer. He was a pretty okay defender on the wing, which is exactly what the Pacers needed, especially, I thought, in the summer, because, if you'll recall, in the offseason, we all thought the Pacers' wing defense would suck, right? TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb, Not great defenders. Doug McDermott, terrible defender. Sabonis is going to be on the wing. Are you kidding? This team's wing defense is going to be terrible. They're going to need Justin Holiday probably to close games. And now it turns out Holiday's been guarding these hybrid fours a lot. And he's just, I mean, it's hard to believe that he's been that good on D. He's probably the best defender on this team, not named Miles Turner. And his offense has totally, totally warped my perception of him. So he was an okay shooter before this year. Never anything close to what we're seeing right now. 122 made threes. He was had a good chance. He basically had to average two makes a game. Well, let me rephrase that. He was not going to get to his career high in total makes. He had a good chance to approach his per-game career high in makes per game. And I think per 36, he was going to set a career high at 2.7. So he was just bombing away threes this year. And it wasn't even the raw numbers are nice, but 42.4%, his previous career high, under 36%. 6.5% improvement is ridiculous. Like, that's a whole different player. 6.5%, Miles Turner is a 40-point shooter. Victor Oladipo is a 39-point shooter. Brogdon, I mean, it's hard to imagine him at 50-40-90 being 6% better. All of a sudden, that's the best second option in the NBA. You know, Justin Holiday went from a guy you can very occasionally throw the ball if the defense is ignoring him to, we are calling plays to get this guy open behind the arc. That totally changes the way a team defends him. And especially when paired with McDermott, right? Teams talk about getting shooting. The Pacers do. Me and Adam talk about it. This is why. It makes TJ McConnell be able to just whiz into the lane with no plan and get away with it. It makes Jeremy Lamb fit with any second unit, even one that's clicking like crazy. It gives Aaron Holiday the space to grow. It lets Sabonis develop his passing game. Justin Holiday, being this good, allowed so much to take place. It allowed him to fit with every group. He closed games. He stayed with the starting lineup. He was awesome with the – he just did it all. And I don't know how the Pacers got this guy for the room mid-level exception, because he was just tremendous every step of the way. And if the season resumes, he will continue to be, I'm imagining. But just because his three was better. And that's not even it. Like, his two-point percentage – is the second best of his career. I don't want to belittle the work he's done, you know, being a little more choosy with his shot selection. It's not that he's not taking mid-rangers, although he is taking them at the lowest rate of his career. He still is taking them. He just takes them a little bit less often and takes them within the flow of the offense. He's actually shooting pretty bad at the rim compared to how he has in years past, and yet he's still shooting a really good percentage because he's just slightly choosier and really fits in with this scheme. He has just turned his offensive game up to a new level and continued to be this brilliant high IQ defender. And he's going to get paid this summer, right? Every team wants a 42.5% three-point shooter that is a good defender. Every single team. This is why. You've seen it all season long. This guy can be in any lineup, no problem. He can guard so many guys. He's not going to kill you in any way, right? He's not a good dribbler, whatever. Who cares? He's so much of a positive in so many ways that you can stick him out with any group. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to him going forward, because he's been a big part of the Pacers being really good this year despite a ton of injuries, right? I think he's played every game. That might be wrong, but he's 65 games. I believe he's played every game this year. So what a huge pickup he was. I mean, he was basically an afterthought given the timing he was signed in the summer, right? I thought he would be out of the rotation when Vic came back. No chance that was going to happen, so I mean, all the credit to him. He's been amazing, and he deserves whatever he gets this summer. And let's talk about that, because I think he is in the stickiest situation. Let me rephrase that. He's the hardest decision and stickiest situation for the Pacers should the cap drop this summer. He's not in a sticky situation, but the Pacers might be. Let's talk about it. So me and Adam on Monday talked about the scary thing. The cap is going to fall. It's going to happen, right? I don't know the amount. It could be a small amount. It could be a large amount. But the cap is going to likely be lower than currently projected at 115 mil. I mean, this year right now it's 109, and the tax line is 132.5 million. The tax next year being 115 mil. The tax is about 140. And it seems like those numbers are going to drop ever so slightly. So Justin Holiday. Why is Justin Holiday the guy that this section matters for? The Pacers have $137 million on the books next year. That is $3 million shy of the tax, which is scary. You can't do much in free agency, $3 million shy of the tax. However, included in that $137 million is some numbers that we can get rid of right away. Number one, $50,000 on the books to give Brian Bowen a qualifying offer at the 2A. They're not going to do that. Same with Nazmi Trulong. There you go. There's $100,000. Not nothing, but it's gone. Alize Johnson qualifying offer. It's just not happening, right? It's just not happening, especially if they're strapped for cash or trying to keep Justin Holiday. He's gone. Goodbye. Jakar Sampson's cap hold. Jakar, they can just re-sign him at the minimum later if they need to. They're going to cut that cap hold. Who cares? He's gone. Now all of a sudden you're at $133.5 million. You're $6.5 million under the luxury tax line at $140 million if the cap doesn't drop at all. That's not happening. Now, the only way to drop it more is to cut Justin Holiday's cap hold or cut TJ McConnell. I kind of doubt the Pacers want to cut TJ McConnell just to get 2.5 mil more of space. But if it means they keep Justin Holiday without using their mid-level exception, maybe they do it. So why did I say that? Well, here's the thing. Justin Holiday with the Pacers, they can offer him, and if they keep his cap hold, they can offer him 120% of what he makes right now, which is $4,767,000. Okay, they can offer him 120% of that, and then tack that on a 3-year deal at most with 5% raises. So that's about 3 years, 16 and a half, maybe 17 million. I didn't actually run the numbers for the last three seasons, but it's something like that. I bet Justin Holiday could get $10 million this summer. Because, like I said earlier, teams are dying for three-point shooters who are good defenders. I bet Justin Holiday could get $10 million this year. I've said in the Fieldhouse chat, I bet he could get 4 years, $40 million. I bet he could get that full mid-level for 4 years. They pushed back because of his age. That's fine. Maybe he'll get 4 for $35, 3 for $30, something like that. Sure, but that first year, I bet he could get close to $10 million. So here are your options. If Justin Holiday is not willing to accept 3 for $17, and I doubt he would, considering he could get 3 for $30, the Pacers would have to hope that they could find a way to get a discount from him to stay with his brother or to stay on this team if they really wanted to keep him. Would he take that big of one? I'm not sure. But if they can't get him on that 3 for 17, they would have to not use his bird rights and instead use an exception to sign him. Now, here's where things get dicey. So they could cut his cap hold at that point. Now they're pretty far. They're 13 mil under that tax. And whatever exception they use to get him is going to be less than that 13 mil. Let me pull up the exception amounts for next season. I should have pulled those up before. But the full mid-level exception is just a hair under 10 mil, 9.75 next season. The taxpayer mid-level is at 6 million. So the Pacers using the full mid-level exception to get them dangerously close to the tax and hard cap them just to keep Justin Holiday. And if they do that, all of a sudden they are at 13 players plus their second round pick, 14 players, and they're basically right at the tax line. They're about $3 million away. So that's a hell of an emergency fund. I think being under the tax, they could do that, no problem. But that's a scary sight. I'm sure they'd like to get him for less than the full mid-level, especially because then they could use some of that mid-level to sign their second round pick to a 3-year deal. But I don't know. That's just all my guess. But that's all those numbers I just said are based on if the cap stays at 115 and the tax is at 140, right? And they just got close to the tax in this random simulation. So if the cap drops to what it is right now, even, $109 million, right? That's a scary number. And the tax is at $132 million, $132.5 million. I'll even be a little generous. They still basically have to get rid of someone to keep Justin Holiday because they'd go over the tax to give him the full mid-level unless he's willing to take a discount. I mean, the first guy, TJ Leaf, gone. I mean, he's off. They'll do whatever they can to get him off the books. All their cash, their second-round pick, maybe another second-round pick, they get him off. Suddenly, they're $9 million under $132.5 million tax line. So that's not a bad option. Maybe they could shed a few more bucks somewhere else. I'm not really sure where, though, and probably have to be Edmund Sumner at that point. That's where things get dicey. unless they can take a suitor for Jeremy Lamb. I kind of doubt it, but you never know. And not a lot of teams have space that are just going to be willing to absorb guys this summer. Don't forget that, too. So it's going to be very hard to keep Justin Holliday, is what I'm saying, if the cap falls a significant amount, because they're already getting running out of wiggle room. Like I said, they basically would have $3 million room under the tax. They basically have $3 million of wiggle room before the tax line to keep him next year. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be monitoring those cap figures like crazy to see if the Pacers can keep a really good and important player. That's all for today's show. Hope you enjoyed a lot more of infusion of just basketball. Adam will be back tomorrow to do a season recap for Domantas Sabonis. A good player. I'm excited for that. And then Friday, again, Heat preview. And I think TJ Warren season recap for me, although I might just do Heat stuff with a Heat guest. That is all for today's Lockdown Pacers podcast, and we will see you tomorrow.